The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Holy shit.
That's a lot of confetti in my face.
Whoa.
What the hell just happened here?
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Boar.
And I'm covered in confetti.
Yeah, I did unleash the beast.
That is a beast that has been wounded. There is a dead pinata out there somewhere.
During the music there... I did spray some confetti everywhere. We had some leftover confetti from some of our live presentations of years past, and it just seemed optimal to use that. Welcome to Nerdy Show. So we do have an audio podcast, which maybe you're listening to. We also have a video podcast, which you may be watching, and maybe you saw the confetti.
If not, then just know there was a lot of it, and some of it got in our mouths.
I imagine this is something like a poison in your mouth. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's like...
Did you make sure to soak it in LSD
beforehand? Yeah.
Guys, it's starting!
I can only handle a teeth!
You got some right here, Tony.
There's a good chance of that.
And I've just created a problem for myself that I'm going to have to take care of.
I was actually thinking about that. I was like, well, I'm glad we're not recording in my house.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what I was getting into when I did it, so it's done now. It's, you know, it's forever entombed on YouTube, and hopefully it was worth it. Anyway,
things Cap suffers for your benefit, fans.
Yeah, this is for you. This is our art for you. and in this episode of Nerdy Show, we're going to be talking about lots of stuff. We're going to be talking about some comics news, my gripes with something Nickelodeon's up to in the shape of Legends of the Hidden Temple sort of thing, and video games. We got some VR happenings. We always talk about that a little bit, but there's maybe some darker side of augmented reality. Which is an interesting slant to it. But we got two hosts on here who you may recognize from some of our other streaming program.
Hey.
This is Tony.
Yo.
And Trench.
Ahoy.
Of Nerdy Show Stream Team.
Formerly Trench and Tony, which is funny because, you know, you go back that far and then we kind of lost top billing, but we do the game streams and it's a good time.
Yeah, you're not the only ones doing Nerdy Show's Twitch stream anymore.
No, not anymore.
No, we do it with David and Steve-O or Brushfire and Level 99 from Friday Night Fan Fiction.
It's always better when you do it with friends.
Always.
That's what people keep telling me, and yet I always wind up being at the front of what they call the daisy chain. I don't understand. It doesn't seem that much.
Wait, hold. It's not a chain if it's not linked together. I mean, you can form a circle in a daisy chain, certainly.
God damn it, this is why geometry was important in elementary school.
Someone's been cutting you out of the equation, Tony, and that's just not fair. So you're going to have to reevaluate that friendship there.
Hashtag slightly better without Tony.
Anyway,
Hey, that's trademarked.
Not anymore. It's not. It's on social media. Jerk.
If you go to Nerdy Show's main page, there's a Twitch link up at the top. And how often do you guys do it these days? I mean, I'm working on Nerdy Show stuff, so I don't ever watch you.
We aim for twice a week. We try and do it Thursdays and Sundays. This week, clearly, we are not doing it on a Sunday because that's recording day here. So we're
thank
we're
you
here
for your sacrifice.
It's okay. And then Thursdays, generally between 6 and 7 o'clock, and we play all sorts of fun stuff.
That's Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time, yeah. The only time that matters.
Steve-O and Dave do a Step Mania where they exercise for your entertainment on Mondays.
Yeah, because why not watch those two just breathing heavily as they attempt to keep up on Step Mania?
Yeah, I've heard tell.
They are attempting to lose weight, and they are making great strides toward it. And, I mean, who doesn't want to play a user-created Step Mania or Dance Dance Revolution type game that, whereas Dance Dance Revolution is a game that pretends that you're a human being, Step Mania and the people on the internet have no such care for your health and well-being.
I see the allure now. Exactly. I wasn't quite so sure before, but I see it now.
Participate at your own peril.
Pretty much.
Well, what else is new, guys? This is the part of the show where we talk about our lives.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a while since you've been on the main show, Tony.
It is.
Why don't you start? I mean, well, both of you. It's been a while since we've seen you, Matt. Not since we started video, certainly.
No. Yeah.
Well, for me personally, I've been busy. In addition to, of course, all the stuff that I do for Nerdy Show in terms of artwork and stream team and my day job and pretending to be married to somebody and having to deal with the home life and all that fun stuff, I've been doing a lot of art for a comic shop, longtime producer and friend of the network.
Yeah.
They've introduced a new series of events every Wednesday at a comic shop in Orlando, Florida. They do what's called comics and crafts, where they promote a craft beer and a particular comic. And I have been doing the banner artwork for all of the stuff that's been going on there. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun kind of tweaking these comic book characters and showing what happens if they would get drunk.
It's been some fun. Like, it's kind of like a comic strip, really.
Almost. It's single panel. It's my own version of the Far Side. It's the drunk side.
Well, where's the best place to see that? Facebook?
Facebook, yeah. And I have started to post it on some of my social media feeds, so you can see me over at sketchlings.tumblr.com or however Tumblr organizes its web address.
Link to that on this episode's page.
Hey, that makes it even easier. How about that?
Yeah, much easier.
So I do that, and then, I mean, I've just been keeping on, you know, having fun.
And it's a comic shop's 10th year in business.
Oh my goodness, that's correct. That is correct. Aaron is an old man. He is an old man, and that is an old shop.
Well, he doesn't act it, so that's, I mean, and I've been with him the whole time, so it makes me feel plenty old, too.
It's okay. You wear it better than he does.
Well, I'm not doing it day in, day out, so.
Because he's an Aaron Hardland. It's a joke. Punning on his last name.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Yeah. Enjoy it, handful of you people.
Shut up, Tony.
Yep.
See, that just reminds me even more. You know, if you know Tony personally, recently his wife posted a thing on his Facebook wall about
the link
between puns and brain damage.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Yeah, that is something that the woman I've pledged my life to decided to share with the world, that apparently I am a brain damaged individual because I like jokes with clever wordplay.
So much infant head trauma. Such a shame.
It's funny you mentioned that. That did happen.
Well, I mean, she didn't say that you necessarily had this disorder.
Oh, really?
There is a brain damage type situation where one would just spout out puns uncontrollably.
I'm going to point out that she listed the article.
If we were to ask our friends, you know, who do you know that's like this?
I feel like
the first name that would come up would be yours.
It's not as though when you guys make a bad joke and I am absent, you call it a Tony joke.
I remember at the final Nerdapalooza, you were very proud to come over to me and show me a little gold sheriff's badge that you said that you won at a pun contest.
It was not Nerdapalooza, it was the Orlando Nerd Fest.
Okay,
and
sure.
It was Pun Slingers, where I was apparently unanimously voted the winner of the evening, so I had my little Pun Slinger sheriff badge.
So they gave you something to go away.
Pretty much, yeah. When you look at it like that.
That's not how I chose to look at it, but I suppose you're right. I can't argue that logic.
Well, it's all in the eye of the beholder, is it not?
That's a D&D character. Nat 20.
Tony, shut up.
How about you, Matt? What you been up to?
Recovering from my crystal meth addiction.
How's that been going?
It's been rough.
I believe it.
Show us between your teeth.
Your teeth look good.
I mean, in terms of like meth, not even once, the before and after, you actually look healthier now.
Oh, geez. Actually, I've been getting over strep throat for the last week, so that's been fun. So I feel like I sound, you know, really strange or underwater or something, but I might just be imagining that. You know, that whole deal of having the back of my throat full of pus and swelling, that was...
It sounds like a typical Tuesday for you, to be honest. I mean, come on. That's why we don't stream until Thursday after you've drained it.
Ugh. Thanks. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
As for you guys.
More than usual, trying to balance jobs between being an undertaker and a realtor. And then I've recently, within the last month, tried my hand at internet dating.
That sounds like quite the undertaking.
I'm in the room. You don't have to tell these jokes. I'm here. It's okay, guys.
Every time I can get out a pun faster than you, it's like I count.
He's got a running tally back there. Yeah. You can't see.
I just count it.
So, dating, it's something I've never done because I haven't had to, just based on the timeline. It's so much more common now than it was when I was single like a million years ago. But what's it? I hear crazy stories all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even OG internet dating. That's where me and my wife met in the Legend of Zelda chat room back in the late 90s.
Which wasn't on purpose.
No, it wasn't. So I'm curious, what sort of tools of the trade does one such as yourself, Mr. Trench, use?
Well, I have taken a kind of misguided approach because I did something that would have worked better for something like Tinder, where you don't really have a whole lot of time to, you don't get the opportunity to pick who you look at. It just tells you who you're going to look at, and then you'd make your decision based on that. But I tried to be funny in my own way. So, you know, I was talking with one of my female coworkers about, you know, what should my profile be about? What should I, you know, use for pictures and my name and all that kind of crap? Mm-hmm. Confetti.
I think you want to have lots of shirtless pictures holding up dead fish that you, you presumably caught. What are some other things? Lots of sunglasses.
Depending upon the site.
They really want to see your car. That's really important.
Preferably with you sitting next to it and looking cool.
Yeah.
Which means big collars.
It has to look really super staged.
I like open shirt, loaves of bread, down the chest, and a pic that's kind of angled between your legs. So it's just various bread loaves. This is a common thing, I've been told.
David Bowie with like pirate captain shirt and doves just coming out.
I actually...
It sounds more a little Prince-like.
my current girlfriend I met on Tinder, so I've got a lot of recent experience with this. So the girl starter pack is having a picture at Machu Picchu.
Okay.
With lots of friends, especially if you can't tell who
is
the main person
is. Is this so you
can't
identify who the main person is? And maybe they have a more attractive friend next to them, you think that's someone you're dating?
Some of them like to have lots, like all their pictures be multiple people, and you're like, who the hell am I looking at here?
You start looking for like a common denominator.
You have to figure out who is the one that's common between all
but
the pictures.
But they always have a best friend that's in every single one, so you have to see,
if you can get it down to a 50-50, though, that's not that bad.
Yeah. And then you know that, you know, if either of them is unattractive, you're like, yeah, I better swipe the other way.
Well, what's your,
so, yeah,
you did
my,
something.
Yeah, mine was, I went with, my username is Matt Loves Cake. And my pictures of me eating cake. And all of my little blurbs about me are related to cake in some way. Like, what are your favorite books? I went on Amazon and grabbed like the 3 best-selling like baking books and put those on there. So it's all baking and confection.
So you're the quirky
gags.
Guy.
Yeah.
You went for the quirky guy
I went,
angle.
Yeah. That's what I went with.
How's that been working out?
Oh, God, it has failed miserably.
In that you're not getting enough, or you're just getting a whole lot of bakers?
I'm getting nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you would hope that he'd get a baker's dozen.
Hey! I said that with, you see, that's what I call
Shut
a layup.
Shut up, Tony.
So you think people are reading it as a joke profile.
I think that's probably what it is. And also, like I said, there's that opportunity to say like no, where like it would have worked better on Tinder, where it's just like, holy shit, this is hilarious because it's just absurd and in my face.
Wait, which platform did you do this on?
I went with OkCupid.
Oh, well, see, you know how in the stock market, they say you have to diversify.
Yeah.
You can't just hit up OkCupid because that place is a cesspool and it's terrible. And it's the same like 50 people that you're going to see on there for the next 7 or 8 years.
See, and I had planned on doing all of this on Tinder. However, what happened is Tinder updated their app, and now it's no longer compatible with my version of Android, so I can't use Tinder on my phone.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to download Tinder onto my phone, and it told me that it wasn't compatible with my device.
You've got some ancient Android device.
Yeah.
Well, this is an increasing problem, actually. Like, people will arbitrarily upgrade their apps so that they will only work on the newest OS, which is, it's a huge problem. Like, so if you don't have it at all, you can never get it. They make sure that there's no opportunity for you to download an older version that's the peak version for your tool. Even though the new version would work fine, they just don't want to get a 3-star review because some feature didn't work quite right because the new OS. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
I understand it, but it's bullshit. End rant.
So yeah, that's
is this a bad time to bring up the fact that I got a new phone? Yay!
Oh, what phone did you get?
A Moto X Pure.
Oh, you're fancy.
Yeah,
you're fancy.
Well, look at you with your fancy phone and
Hell cool. Yeah, sure. Fancy. Okay, so
Stream team's in talks to help you out there, Drench. We got
Have you tried reaching out to people? Like, are you just sitting there with the cake pictures and you're just waiting for the girls to come to you?
No,
or
no,
you've been going out and been like, hey, want to eat some cake with me? What are you doing today? I've got a bucket of frosting over here. Let's smear it on.
not quite that weird, but you know, no, I've messaged people.
You gotta get it just a little bit weird with it if you're going to be the quirky guy.
Channel your inner Tony.
Don't do that.
No.
Bad idea.
You know, happily married over saying.
Trent only ever dated one person over there.
Excuse me, I might have dated more. You don't know.
Okay. No, I'm pretty sure that I do know because you've told
me. How many more, Tony?
Three. I was 10. My wife and I have been together a very long time.
Okay,
Tony, do you feel the judging that's going on?
I think what
right
he
now?
Said is valid. Anyway, continue. Have you gotten any replies like
no,
at all?
Like nothing.
Like you've been shooting them out there.
I've had some people like my profile, but that's about it.
Okay.
This is only enforcing the fact that they think it's a joke, most likely.
Most likely, yes. So I had already resolved that I was going to have to redo my profile before, you know, I came on tonight, but I decided I'd just leave it alone until then just so I could tell the story.
You should for sure at the opportunity to upgrade your phone, resurrect Matt Loves Cake on Tinder. I think that's a good move.
I think so. That's what
Tinder,
I'm gonna do.
I think, would work well. Though be wary. You may get a couple of cakes coming after you, and I hear they're bad for your health, especially in large doses.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's all right, fine. Leave the joke alone. People at home are laughing. I know some of you were laughing. I have had people on the stream team defend my jokes. Ice, I'm looking at you.
Post here, post this page, and at this time code on SoundCloud if you laughed at Tony's joke.
Thank you, three people.
Matt. Hashtag Doo Doo Butter Tony.
God damn it, no! No! I thought I was free. You know, this is why I haven't come. This is why it's been so long since the last time I was on an official episode. Come on, guys.
No, we love you so much, Tony.
Yeah, as much as doo doo butter.
No.
So delicious.
Doo doo butter is. When I think doo doo butter, I think of apple butter, and I love apple butter. So
I really hate doo doo though. So wouldn't that trump it?
Apple butter kind of looks like doo doo though.
Yeah, a little bit.
It tastes so good.
Hey,
though.
Hey. Can I tell my thing now?
Yeah,
please
tell
do.
Thing.
Please.
I'm going to go ahead and tell my thing. I haven't been up to too much crazy stuff lately because, you know, it's just been crazy at work and you know, random life bullcrap.
Yeah.
But one thing that was kind of fun / totally mean that I did was my girlfriend has this coworker that gets really nervous about when people's gas tanks get near E.
Okay.
And so she likes to take a picture every time she gets close, like she gets the light to turn on and text it to the coworker and be like, you know, just to taunt her. And then she's like, no! And so we met for dinner and she did this because her gas was low. And then about, I don't know, I think 10 minutes later, she was like, did you make it? And I was like, tell her no. tell her that you're stuck somewhere. And so she went along with that. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, I broke down, but my boyfriend's coming for me. It's okay. And she waited about like 5 more minutes or something like that. And she was like, did he find you yet? And she's like, no, I'm not 100% sure where I am. And then I was like, say that you saw the street you saw the street sign that said Paramore,
which is a
super
really, really
sketchy
bad
area
part of town.
Orlando.
Yeah.
And then she was like, no. and then
she sounded like Mr. Bill. Does your girlfriend work with Mr. Bill?
She just kind of responded like, oh my god, no, like
you're not proving me wrong here.
I don't. It was text message. I'm interpreting. God, just let me tell my fucking story.
Keep going.
Anyway, so, all right. I told her that we were in a sketchy part of town. I pretty much took her phone by this point because, you know, I had way funnier things to say.
You couldn't let it be lost in interpretation.
No, she was just laughing her butt off the whole time, and so after I said Paramore, I was like, oh wait. I think this man is going to help. Be right back. And then and then again, it was like, no, don't do that. And then we waited about 4 minutes, and then she texted again. She was like, is everything okay? And I just wrote, who's this?
Oh, God.
And apparently that was enough for her to freak out to the point where she was ready to call the cops.
Oh, Jesus.
You are mischievous.
Over the course of this, only about 10 minutes had passed from the time, like, when we started to, like...
To fuck with her?
Yeah. And so, like, I started texting, like, as the kidnapper or whatever. And then one of her other coworkers texted her and was like, hey, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, we're just, you know, messing with this other girl. And she was like, she's ready to call the cops. So...
Is that so, when you took a selfie
with
each other?
We left the restaurant.
Yeah.
Because this was near the end of when we were leaving. We left the restaurant and she picked up the phone and she started to call her just to, like, be like, oh, hey, don't call, like,
don't call the
cops or anything. I'm fine. But here's where she made the mistake, is she handed the phone to me.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Why?
And so I said, hey, who is this? And she said something like, who is this? And then I was like, oh, hey, we're just messing with you. Everything's fine. And then she's like, that's not funny. And I find out later, she got really, really pissed. She screamed, that's not funny, a few times and then hung up. And she wouldn't take any subsequent phone calls where my girlfriend tried to call and apologize.
I wonder why.
We found out later she actually did call 911.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, in my own defense, I don't have any friends that are that gullible or sensitive.
Especially
since, like, you know, the next day she was like, oh, I'm in a lot of shit. This girl, like, is really pissed off. And I was like, well, maybe try to, like, get the point across to her that nobody gets kidnapped and then has their kidnapper start texting back within, like, a 10-minute span.
Somehow I don't think logic was going to win that argument.
No, it didn't. It
oh,
didn't.
My God. So
still got a little bit mad. But I think, you know, time is actually healing that wound slowly.
Oh, she'll think it. She'll laugh about it later, eventually.
That's what I hope.
In therapy.
That's what I hope.
You know who does say time is a healer? And that wounds are all the same. Phil Collins.
Oh?
Which is the segue, because I after the Phil Collins interview that I did that we shared a little bit of a few episodes ago, I did actually go down to see his first performance in 6 years to Miami, which was cool. I won't really say any more about it, because that's I already wrote an article about that on Consequence of Sound. Another article I wrote for Consequence of Sound, which is more pertinent to Nerdy Show, is a piece on Batman versus Superman. We did this kind of team up with different folks from around Consequence of Sound, which is a music and film website, and sort of paired up the different Batman and Superman of the respective ages and picked a singular winner for each of them. So Adam West versus George Reeve and Christopher Reeves versus Michael Keaton and all the others. And mine was the next in line, which was Kevin Conroy and Tim Daly from the animated universes.
I read the article. I was very pleased with your breakdown of each voice actor's gravitas and their approach to the role. As a voice actor, aficionado, and enthusiast, it tickled the cockles of my heart.
That's, well, I couldn't get a better endorsement than that, because you are legitimately obsessed with that. And rightly so.
It's a passion.
It's a good thing.
I just
thing.
Want to know, did Batman win any of them and how?
Did Batman win any of them and how? Yeah, Batman won all of them except George Reeve.
Oh, come on! Superman.
Well,
I don't buy any of the... There's not very many scenarios.
It was not about physical strength.
It wasn't an actual fight.
It was...
Okay.
It was,
I'll accept that then.
It was performance. It was completely a graded performance.
Okay.
And for mine,
I've argued with quite a few Batman fans, and they always say that Batman has some sort of a MacGuffin where he always wins. And I'm like, maybe if he, like, you know, sneak surprised him with a like a plan or something, but if Superman sees it coming, I just don't.
Outside of like some clever contrivances to a story for just a cool scene or two, the reality is anyone with Superman's power set, if he wanted to, could absolutely decimate Batman with no resistance whatsoever.
Yeah, my because I've engaged in a number of these, you know, X versus Y superhero discussions over the years, and I have come to the answer I use in all of them, because it's the truest answer I've ever come across. Depends on who's writing the story.
Yeah, it sure does.
Batman versus Superman, if Grant Morrison's writing it, Batman's winning all day. If, what's his name? Mark Waid, there we go. If Mark Waid is writing the Superman story, Superman wins all day. Just, that's all it boils down to. Mm. Sorry, kids. There's no Santa Claus. But it was a very good article, and...
And we'll link to it on this episode's page.
Should definitely... I will say this. The person in charge of the Ralph versus... Christian Bale segment,
yeah,
seemed a little harsh on Brandon Routh, just a little bit.
Definitely not a fan of Brandon Routh, yeah. And it's been a long time since I've seen a Superman Returns, so honestly, I don't have a defense.
Having watched it and kind of internalized a lot of it, because it captured that hopes and dreams aspect of Superman that I'm a big fan of, Routh's performance, while not as nuanced, say, as Christian Bale, did what it was supposed to do, which was capture the feeling and the essence of Christopher Reeve. He really nailed that sense of just mild-mannered Clark Kent, and he didn't really have enough time as Superman to flex his muscles in that role.
Now, I'm sure everybody's going to be wondering what our take is on the forthcoming film, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. And I'm happy to tell you that... I will find out what it's like and share my opinion with you without spending a dollar. we got some press passes to check it out, so Doug and I are going to be seeing the film, and we're going to be doing, hopefully, a video for you guys that will be online shortly, or out already, depending on
the when you listen to this.
Yeah.
One way or the other, you guys will know Cap and Doug's opinion on what could be the biggest clusterfuck of 2016.
I certainly anticipate it. Man of Steel was one of my least favorite films I've seen in a long time, which is why I was determined to somehow not spend money seeing this film while acquiring opinion, because I'm pretty sure people are going to want our 2 cents on this thing.
You know, it might be one of those, though, that Zack Snyder with an ensemble as opposed to a singular focus character might do well. Who knows?
I have liked films he's made.
So?
But I have maybe not liked the words that come out of his mouth lately.
Maybe all of them will suddenly spout feathers and it'll be the Guardians of Ga'Hoole.
So when I went to, what was it, Avengers 2, the trailer for Batman Superman, like, people were breaking out into cheers and applause in the theater. I'm like,
you dumb like, bastards.
Yeah. It's like, I want to puke all over all of you.
Did you?
I should have.
You didn't have strep then. It would have been more difficult for you.
Well, some people just cheer if that's the thing they're familiar with.
I recognize those symbols. Yay! On screen.
And I wish I was joking. I really do.
And I don't know when it's coming out, but Aaron and I actually sat in on a short documentary that Consequence of Sound is assembling, a video documentary, mm-hmm. on why people aren't into Superman anymore. And Mark Waid is also in this documentary with
us. That is synergy right there. That is synergy. Why I dropped his name.
Yeah, well, I mean,
had no idea it was coming.
Mark Waid has some deep feelings about Superman. I don't recall if he talked about that in either of the times we interviewed him on the show, but...
He didn't, but his article, he wrote speaking of Man of Steel, he wrote a response to Man of Steel right after it came out, and his feelings on the film kind of echo my own in terms of just how it was... Ultimately joyless.
Yeah.
Ultimately joyless, and that there are a few key scenes could have saved that film. Just a few more kind of pounding home who Superman is. Because as a film, it's not terrible. It's well executed. The action is fun. But there are just it feels despondent. But this isn't a discussion about Man of Steel.
No. Let's start discussing something that you two stream teamers here are all about.
Yeah, we are uniquely qualified to discuss it, and we're gonna start with a olive branch that has suddenly dropped from the heavens because something
It being video games.
It being video games. I was getting there.
I see. Way to make us sound like we're way more important than we actually are.
This is what we do, sir. Otherwise, the stream team is nothing. But recently, and the story's been kind of all over the interwebs, Microsoft, because they've been pushing forward this whole cross-platform play between Windows 10, they're going for a unified platform with Windows 10 and Xbox One, so that people who get a game on Xbox One, and in fact, Cap, you have even seen this a little bit with Quantum Break, where if you buy it on Xbox One, you also get it on PC.
Yeah.
They, in a press conference, said that they were also open to the idea of cross-platform play across all platforms. So for the first time, PS4 would be able to play against Xbox One.
Which would be crazy.
All platforms with, you know, an asterisk, because, you know, Nintendo's not going to play ball on that one.
Nobody cares.
PS4 already has crossovers with PC.
You've had that in the past. They've had a couple of things where, like, a console will play with PC. Xbox 360 did it with Shadowrun way back in the day, and PS4 does it in particular with games like
Rocket League
and the Final Fantasy online games, where there's been cross-platform there. But in Rocket League, it's funny we mentioned that, because that is one of the first games, one of the first developers that has gotten on board with this idea of playing between PS4 and Xbox One, and Sony's open to it too. Ultimately, it's going to come down to what developers are into it and if they can work out the networking code, but it could mean an end to one critical aspect of the console war.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Which has always been, what system do my friends have so that I can play with them? Because cross-platform games, it doesn't really matter. I know the three of us have been playing a fair amount of The Division, and it always comes down to this question of, who am I going to play with? Am I going to, you know, do my friends have a PS4? Do they have an Xbox One? How am I going to play with who? And if that's no longer part of the equation, you just pick the system you want and roll with it.
At that point, it just comes down to the console-exclusive titles, really.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
And even those, you're not getting a whole lot of those anymore.
It's potentially the breaking of a new dawn in multiplayer gaming. It's pretty nifty.
Yeah, I don't know what this development means for video games, you know, at large.
Mm-hmm.
No. So,
as a member of the PC Master Race, yeah, I don't really care what the unwashed console masses.
You have a PS4. You have a PS4.
What's your point?
Just saying, you are no longer, you are tainted, sir.
I'm a little bit
unclean.
I am a little bit unclean.
You have let that.
I am a little bit ashamed of having a PS4.
You have let that heathen machine into your house.
I'm a little bit ashamed that I kind of like it too.
You do enjoy it
for some things.
No, you and I have played Destiny together, and you enjoy it thoroughly, sir. I have heard the squeals of glee.
No, you have not.
I have so.
Have you ever heard me be gleeful about anything? There's holes in your argument here.
I was shocked. I was shocked to hear it, because it is something that is traditionally out of character for you. And yet, there it was.
I think that you're full of it.
Yeah, I could be. I'm not on the... This is my first time expounding this, so it's my word against yours, sir.
And who do you think everybody believes?
The guy who draws awesome shirts.
The joyless man that sits before you, or the goofy one that spouts out puns over there?
Listen, my money's on the Punisher.
Oh, boy. All right. Well,
that's what I deal with.
It is something that... I mean, the long-term implications of it are difficult to say at this point,
because really
nothing's been set in stone. We don't know how broad it's going to get. I don't know if this is going to be like Modern Warfare being able to play against each other.
I don't even think they've really started talking about it formally.
Well, like I said, each company has said, Microsoft, it was in a official press release that they said they were able to do it. Sony responded in an equally official capacity. Nothing's been said that they're going to do it, and I don't know if it's going to affect AAA titles or if it's just going to be kind of relegated.
Have they said anything other than we're open to talking?
Yeah, we're at the point where they're like, yeah, we could do that, maybe. Let's talk about it.
The only other thing they've said than that is that it's going to boil down to the developers, that, you know, they will work with developers in order to do it, which is why I'm saying it could be AAA, it could be relegated to indie stuff like Rocket League, or if there's another game like Castle Crash or something like that where multiplayer is
available. Broforce.
So, it's hard to say, but the potential within the story and what it develops into is really intriguing.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned The Division.
I did.
You guys have been playing The Division.
I have played it some.
You've played it more than me.
Trench has played it more than both of us.
Yeah. Probably combined at this point, because I had strep throat. Well, I have strep throat and couldn't do anything for last week.
So you comforted yourself in the arms of a dystopian New York that is full of sick
people.
Full
of disease and plague, yes. It was oddly fitting. And I keep, like, I've wanted to kind of not like pick on Destiny while playing Division, but it's so hard because playing the Division is just like, I see everything that was wrong with Destiny and how Division is doing it right. And it's just like, Destiny, you were fun, but you were really only fun because of the people I was playing you with. And Division, I've played almost entirely by myself. I've played maybe an hour at most with Tony, and
an hour and a half. We did 3 half-hour sessions, thank you, before you completely outstripped me in level.
See, that's how it kind of was when we were playing Destiny, and you had like 3 days off to just do nothing but play Destiny.
Yeah, that did happen.
So how does
we streamed a lot of it? Felt good.
I haven't gotten too far into the game, but does at some point do you stop killing things other than just minorities and hoodies?
You eventually work up to sanitation workers and firefighters.
Oh, good.
That have, you know, decided the only way to survive the apocalypse is to just burn out the infection.
Oh. To cleanse it all.
Is that really what's up in that game? I mean, I played a little bit of it, enough to like get the feel for the play style, to know how fun just the act of playing it is, but not to know the story, the adversaries.
They are not specifically minorities. They are, in fact, entirely clothed from head to foot, so you can't tell what race they are.
You've got, like, 5 main groups. You've got the guys that are just basically street thugs.
The rioters.
You've got the guys that are escaped convicts from Rikers Island.
Rikers.
The Rikers. You've got the guys that are, you know, the blue-collar working men that have lost, you know, people close to them, and the only way to deal with the situation is, like I said, to just burn out the infection.
The cleaners.
And then you've got a private military company that have kind of taken their liberties with what's going on and just run with the situation.
Are there mutants or anything later on or anything?
There aren't currently. There's something like
what?
There's something about the DLC coming out later this year, like late summer.
Man, if they threw mutants into a Tom Clancy game, I would be shocked.
Like,
well, funny you should mention that, because there is on a dumpster in the game a pizza box with a katana on top of it.
Nice. Me likey.
I don't know. Like, the things that I miss about Destiny that aren't in the Division are a first-person perspective. I don't really dig the third-person thing. It kind of irritates me a lot.
Okay.
Especially since I've been playing it on computer and, you know, I've got a keyboard and a mouse. Like,
play with a controller. It's so much better with a controller.
No, that's not going to happen. Anyway, the other thing is aliens and spaceships. I miss that.
You miss the intergalactic
travel? I'm not really into the whole... I didn't think I would even play the Division, but I got it gifted to me.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why.
Same way that I gifted you.
I touched it.
Same way that I gifted you Undertale.
Yeah, people just give me games now, apparently.
Hey, it's not a bad racket to be in, just saying.
Lucky bloody you.
Yeah.
I mean, in playing the game for the limited time that I did, I had a demo of it at North Carolina Comic Con, and then was over at Brandon's house, and it sounds like, Trench, you and Brandon are on the same page about Division, and the playability and the Destiny comparisons and how far it trumps Destiny.
Yeah.
And all that.
I offer my voice of dissent.
Wait, how is it better than Destiny? I mean, like I said, I haven't played it a ton, but I know that shooting somebody in the head with a high-powered rifle necessarily is not going to do anything, even if all they got it on is a hoodie. I know that. So it's not totally realistic.
Well, just like the things that are standing out to me is like the story of it, just how smooth playing it feels, like, and just the world itself. It feels like it's alive, and, you know, that things are going on. You're not walking into a big open field and all there's, you know, 10 guys just standing there looking at you.
I don't know if it's just because I didn't get into these dark zones that everybody's been talking about yet, but I felt really alone on the streets. And then I go into the safe house and then there's just a bunch of idiots jumping around.
Jumping jacks?
Yeah, basically.
It's the best.
No, that is how you...
And you applause the jumping jacks. It's very important.
No, it's important. At the end of every mission, you have to do jumping jacks. That is required by the game. Otherwise, it doesn't count as complete.
Lies. Anyway, continue.
So that is one of the things that I actually have noticed, is that they have, Ubisoft has done where the world itself is, you're the only one in it unless you've partied up with somebody prior to.
Ugh.
Whereas Destiny, you could be out just on the map and, you know, there'd be 20 other people running around.
I did do one mission where I was in a party with somebody and I went back to town and I had to, like, I don't know, sell stuff and upgrade things and whatever. And I was inside my own little, whatever that place is that you upgrade.
The base of operations.
Sure.
No, that's what they call it.
Yeah, that place. I was in that, and I was selling to some sort of a vendor, and then the guy, like, dropped party. And then it was like, all right, now you're kicked out of here. And, like, I was right in the middle of something, and it just kicked me out.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it teleports me out of my base or whatever, and...
Probably because you were on his server. I mean, there are elements of it that... Well, same thing would happen to you in Destiny in some occasions.
Would it?
Yeah, if the party leader leaves a mission, kicks you back to orbit.
Well, sure, but then you're in a mission. But would it do that if I was, like, in town?
No, not if you were in the tower, because the tower was its own. The
tower's a communal server type deal.
Yeah.
Who knows?
In the core playstyle, and granted, I hardly touch Destiny, but I was fascinated by how it's a really simple system. It doesn't look like much, but it's so tight, and the cover system and everything about it, it samples from many different sources, but this variation on this third-person combat cover system, everything about it is so tight, is so fully realized that I'm like, if you just want to tell a story in a third-person combat thing, just borrow the system. Everyone should replicate the system. It's so good that one should just use something exactly like this to tell, you know, to tell your story or scenario or whatever.
Absolutely, and I will absolutely agree with you on that. I disagree with Trench in terms of how I don't see the Division as being better than Destiny so much as it is to the side of it. What Destiny, I feel, had a better sensation of is just the tightness of gameplay. Destiny to me feels better because it's got one of the tightest control schemes that's ever been put to a first-person shooter.
For me, it's easier in sort of like a leveling up MMO type of a situation to suspend my disbelief or whatever you want to call it when I'm shooting at an alien with power armor on and not killing it instantly if I shoot it in the head.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm doing that to a human...
It is a little bit... It takes you out of the moment a little bit.
Yeah, I get really like, why this is dumb.
Especially when other Tom Clancy games are so adherent to reality.
Right, and and I shot a sticky bomb at some guy's like chest, and he had like no armor on. Like,
and
he was level
okay.
One something, and a third of his health got cut off or whatever, and I'm like,
I will say, once you get to a high enough level when that does kill them in one hit, far more satisfying. But
I guess, but...
Destiny...
I don't know. If it's going to be realistic, I want it to be realistic. If it's going to be a little bit crazy... I'm okay with more things being like...
It's a simple request.
Yeah.
If one guy with lower health is not enough of a problem, then just add multiple guys with lower health.
Right.
And but to say this, Destiny's world did feel barren. Destiny's world did feel empty. You'd see other players occasionally, but there was no sense of what the world was, really, before you got there. The presentation of this world in Destiny and what you see, the kind of incidental NPCs you run into around the city and the city itself... feels like New York in disarray.
It's beautiful, definitely.
It's beautiful, and to see like people squabbling over resources, or I ran into, there are dogs and rats just running rampant throughout the city, and I ran into a situation today where there was a dog that had cornered two pedestrians, and it was a completely incidental occurrence, and it felt like something that you might see, that there's a wild dog and these two people are scared of it. Then I rolled up and everybody ran away from me because apparently I'm the most terrifying thing there. I might have told a joke on my way over, which might have been why they ran away. I can't
tell. Oh, crap. He's got one of those orange thingies on his backpack. We better run.
Pretty much. But, I mean,
there's... I predict a lot of cosplay with little orange glowing things on.
And I will say, I do have one joy, and it's the weirdest joy. I never thought I would enjoy doing this in a video game. But one of the... You can do a lot of cosmetic customization of your character... And for some reason, I love making this person in Manhattan who is saving the day and murdering people by the thousands into as much of a hipster as I can. So every character I have the opportunity, I have them wear skinny jeans. Just because I can.
You're embarrassing yourself.
I'm embarrassing the enemy. Because some dude, some hipster with a hipster beard and skinny jeans is rolling up and just murdering him and all of his friends. One survivor that I leave to go back and tell this story is going to have to sit there and say, he looked like he walked out of a Whole Foods. I don't understand.
I played as a middle-aged Asian woman.
Of course you did.
Anyway, I would have been surprised if you... one-upped you. Because that's worse.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
What do you think I meant by that?
I have no idea. Anyway, we're an entirely listener-supported podcast, so if the vaguely racist statements of our community manager Trench isn't enough to deter you from this point on. I'm sorry, I don't know what you meant by that at all. I'm sure it was fine. He's not a racist man. He's a very kind man.
I don't think anybody was going to think anything of it until you went there. Thanks.
Go ahead, shine a spotlight on an otherwise inoffensive
It's really
innocuous here.
I promise you, this man is not a racist. Okay. Who even said that anyway?
We're entirely listener supportive. We rely on you to keep this and other shows in the Nerdy Show Network alive. There's many ways you can do this. You can tell a friend, spread the word, make sure other people listen to the show. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdyshow, where we have all kinds of perks available, all kinds of extra content. And if you do that, well, one of those extra content things is at $10 and up, you get a monthly shout-out where we'll say whatever you want. In fact, there's a lot of $10 patrons there. Maybe this is a feature you don't particularly care about, so you don't use it, but there's a lot of folks who aren't using it. So if you'd like to use it, all you got to do is shoot us a message. Shoot us a message on Patreon or send us an email at info@nerdyshow.com. You can do this.
And we will say anything and everything you want.
Especially negative shout-outs. We need more of those.
We do have one. Chief of Stuff, he's back. He was off Patreon for a while. He's back on Patreon. This is the guy who demanded to know about Derpy Show.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
Apparently, your explanation enticed him back to the network.
Oh.
And he might have realized that you are turning Nerdy Show into Derpy Show.
He also got a job.
Oh.
That's why you're the community manager. You know these things.
He just community managed you.
That happens. That happens. There's a reason Trench got top billing back when we were Trench and Tony.
here's his shout out for the month. And I'm honestly not sure why this is happening. Feel free to let me know, Chief of Stuff. Chief of Stuff. He says, I would like Cap to say, Tobey Maguire was a good Peter Parker, but a poor Spider-Man. Which is a statement I completely agree with.
Absolutely. So, I admittedly kind of hated him as both characters.
Yeah, I'm not really, like, he could have been a much better Peter Parker.
He was really good in the first, like, 15 minutes of the first Spider-Man film.
I liked him in the first two movies and not so much in the third one.
Nobody liked him in the third one. The third one was just terrible.
When Sam Raimi's Spider-Man first started, my bid for Peter Parker was hands down the dude who played Xander in Buffy. Should have been him.
Nicholas Brendan would have been pretty good.
Would have been amazing.
He fits the genre meat of Spidey, that kind of like bigger, broader, barrel-chested guy, whereas I think Toby did hit that more like anorexic type.
Yeah, was it even popular. Him in the Spider-Man suit, though? Like,
maybe not when the mask was on. It's tricky to say.
Yeah.
That's why these superheroes wear masks, so that they can have stunt people wear it and not have to pay this actor to be there all the time.
But hey, Chief of Stuff, Toby Maguire was a good Peter Parker, but a poor Spider-Man. I can agree to that. The confetti is still useful. Still good. There's another way you can help Nerdy Show. It's super easy. We've been promoting it for a while now. We're going to keep slamming it down because it is easy and it does help us a ton. If you can rate and review us on iTunes, that would be incredible. So we have a page dedicated to that, nerdyshow.com/spread the word. And it has all the instructions on how to do that, how it works, why it works, and links to all of our separate feeds for all of the programming on the network. And you can go on there, and if you want to, this is the easiest thing you can do. You can just go on and give 5-star ratings to all of our 18 programs and our Nerdy FM app. Just go on there, boop, boop, 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars. That's all it takes. Or, if you want, you can leave us a review, which is even better. It doesn't have to be fancy. It could be super short. It could just be like, A++, would buy again. Whatever you want.
Especially since you didn't pay anything for it. Of course you'd buy it again.
Fast
it's
shipping.
Free entertainment.
Good communication. you can just go on there and just do something simple. It still counts. It's still good. And, you know, while that's not super useful, it's also a little bit useful. So, sure, why not? Why not? And if you do that, we will read our favorites here on the show. And
In fact,
we have some. And I'm going to kick it off here because... Nerdy Show's own producer, Isabiz, he let us in onto a little bit of information here, which is that the iTunes stores, in spite of the fact that we make a podcast, we slide out to iTunes, and it's immediately distributed all over the globe, The rating and reviewing for podcasts is completely different on every single international...
They region-locked this shit?
Yeah, they did.
God damn it.
So whereas we have like 70-something...
a 70-something rating for the whole network and a 20-something rating. Come on, only 20-something rating for just this show specifically?
Really, guys? It's so us in America, we don't have to read all of that Icelandic stuff.
That's fair. And ICE has made moves on my wife, so it's okay.
What?
Long story.
They have a history.
We do.
He cusses him out all the time, which I think is really inappropriate.
Fuck you, ICE.
That's really inappropriate. He's a producer of the show. You can't do that. He's a fan who gives us money on the regular. Don't cuss him out, man.
You haven't been there for some of the shit that's happened, Cap.
I haven't. I have no idea what has led to this animosity. But
and from the outside looking in, I can understand that, yes, it is worse than it appears, but ICE is totally on board with this.
All right.
Trench is my witness.
Anyway, so here's the deal. Rating and reviewing, even in Canada is separate from the United States.
As it should be.
So
America's hat.
If you post something to those respective countries that you live in's iTunes store, we probably won't see it. So you should let us know that you've done that. Just send us a message at info@nerdyshow.com. Be like, hey, I left a review. I'd like to have it read on the show. Just go to this country's iTunes store. No problem.
Hey, we've got patrons up in Canada, right?
We do.
Yeah.
At least two of them.
One of these months, I have a request. One of the patrons, if they could, instead of paying with dollars, if you could just send some maple syrup as your payment, that'd be great.
Did you know that that's happened?
It has?
Yeah.
Why have I not gotten my cut of it?
Mauron, longtime backer, was probably still does, working
number one.
Longtime backer, first time syruper.
He works at a maple syrup farm because he's Canadian, goddammit, and he sent syrup to the D&D crew.
Canadian lumberjack.
Yeah.
So one episode of D&D, we ate waffles with the syrup that is made at... I believe it's called Love Sweetness Farm in Canada. You can look them up online. It was exquisite. And you should totally...
Do they jerk off the trees to get the syrup?
Whoa.
Well, more or less.
Hey. Whoa.
What? What? Did you want to jerk off?
Actually, Tony, here's why you should feel bad about that. It's a nice family whose last name is Love, and their syrup's called Love Sweetness, and isn't that wholesome, and shouldn't you show them a little bit of goddamn respect?
Maybe I should. That doesn't mean I'm
take you
on.
Anywhere.
Anyhow,
a lot of conversations with Tony Finnish. Anyhow,
Isabiz, who is literally from Iceland, had this to say on the Nerdy Show feed in Iceland. If you're looking for a great time, go somewhere else. Because if you stay here, you're about to have a great time.
Okay. You pulled that one back,
he
guys.
He did.
I see what he did.
Listen as Florida man children speak way too passionately about all things nerdy. You can always count on Nerdy Show to talk about the big stuff that's going on in nerd culture, while at the same time, they have a natural born talent to find all the small, wonderful things you always hear about 6 months later, when all your cool friends are tired of it already. If you're looking for a bunch of nerds to keep you on point when it comes to all things nerdy, you can't do better than Nerdy Show.
Aw.
Thank you, Ice.
I retract some of the fuck you. Not much of it, but a little bit.
I'm neither a man nor a children, but I am a Floridian, so I'll take it.
I was going to say I've just kind of, reached the conclusion to just let it go and that I am a man-child. I've just given up.
Put
on
that
being
on
an
your
adult.
Internet dating profile. That will work out. Trust me.
Now,
man-child seeks frosting for cake.
What do you got there, Trench?
What do I got? Okay. So to our UK feed, I've got a fantastic geek culture podcast by Starwall. Have been listening to these for years and haven't found anything else in a geek culture wheelhouse which compares quality-wise. They're just amazing.
And then he also posted to our Call of Cthulhu feed, and I figured it was, one, a good review, and two, if you haven't listened to our RPG miniseries, the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, you totally should. Go to nerdyshow.com/Cthulhu. It's my favorite thing we've ever done.
All right, and here's what he had to say there. I really recommend things to the world at large, but goodness me, if you're looking for an incredibly well-put-together, hilarious podcast, you should check out the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. The Nerdy Show crew really put out all the stops on this one, having turned a marathon tabletop role-playing session into an incredibly well-produced Lovecraftian radio drama. 10 thumbs up.
That sounds suitably Lovecraftian.
Yes, Euclidean geometry.
Thanks, Starwall. And now, who has come for the geekery, stay for the new family?
That would be me.
Well, you know what to do, man. This is posted to the Nerdy Show feed for just this show specifically, because we also have the network-wide feed.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a turn to the camera. Am I looking at the camera, boy? Kind of looking at the
camera? This is your camera here.
All right. Yeah, all right. Look at the camera, and that then, camera. Yeah, that.
I got you. No, I'm with
you. Do you know how cameras work?
No, but okay. I'm learning. I'm a quick right.
It's
I'm
a complicated study. Process. We'll explain it to you later.
Posted to the Nerdy Show feed. Come for the geekery, stay for the new family. By
family?
Yes, by Nebulius. I've been an avid listener of the show for 6 years. Never have I come across a podcast with this level of genuine heart. The Nerdy Show crew spell their souls.
The Dirty Show crew.
That would be the one.
Oh, yeah.
Into providing engaging and well-researched
we
content.
We spell our souls?
That was probably a typo on my part because, as I've said before, I have to use Siri to transcribe this because iTunes won't let me copy pasta. So
it could be spill. It could be spill, or it could be sell their souls. Either way, he's right.
I'm all about selling.
I know. Let's see here. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Once they settle into a topic, you feel like you're at the pub with some good friends who just got started on their favorite subject. And man, these guys are true nerds, and they really celebrate the things they love. Like reviews like this one. Where most settle for the reference or rote excitement, the Nerdy Show enthusiastically delves into the why and how of things. What makes the work engaging? How this new development may change the franchise? The main host, Cap, is an incredible interviewer who has had fascinating conversations with all kinds of folks, from DC Comics writer Gail Simone to Skyrim composer Jeremy Soule. Hey, I was on that one. To the legendary Weird Al. None of us were on that one, and we are all very jealous of you, Cap.
Sorry. You say that one, but it was actually several ones.
He knows how to build jealousy in the rest of his crew as he flaunts his Weird Al knowledge. That didn't write any of that. He knows how to build a genuine rapport that reveals all kinds of amazing facts and stories. If my review doesn't move you to check this program out, then please go against your gut and give the show a chance. I don't think you'll regret it. Stirring endorsement. Despite the small,
I regret it, but we'll come back for more anyway.
Despite a small viewership and a modest Patreon income, these folks obviously throw an insane amount of time into this true labor of love.
Keeping it real. Yeah, Nebulius, thank you so much for the kind words about the show in general and about me. That was awesome. Thank you very much.
It was. It was a feather in you, Cap.
Thanks. And he reviewed quite a number of shows, and so I also wanted to share a short one from the Nerdy Show Network feed.
Okay.
Which Rob is going to read.
Who?
You.
Boar is going to read.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, it's by that same Nebulius guy. Wonderful content with a lot of heart. Over the years, the Nerdy Show Network has built up an impressive variety of shows, discussion, tabletops, music, interviews. It's got something for everyone who has geeky inclination. You'll be amazed how informed and entertained you've become on such a wide swath of pop culture. Hit that subscribe button and lower your thirsty mouth this crazy fire hose of nerddom.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of thirsty mouth, how's that soda treating you?
It's good. I'm okay with it.
Boar discovered that, weirdly, the name brand 7-Eleven sodas are actually Jones sodas.
That makes no goddamn sense.
A weird development.
But I'm okay with it.
Right now, for the next month or so, we have an added perk to you guys reviewing us on iTunes. And that is, we will send you the best ones that we get, we will send you a comic bento box. That's always with the confetti. Well done, Tony.
I got it. I'm on point.
Yeah.
Where are those? I want to hold one up. Where are they at?
Oh, they're over here.
Oh, well, you hold one up.
A comic bento box. And it's a box that is full of comics. And it's like one of those mail-away box programs, but just for graphic novels. And it's pretty awesome. In the last episode we did, with the video content anyway, we opened up one of them. And we have four to give away, and the stuff that's inside was really cool. And we actually don't know if that stuff is uniformly inside all of these boxes we were sent by Comic Bento.
Might be a surprise.
For this giveaway. Might be a surprise. But here's what we got in the box we opened. The theme of it was like espionage and spies and stuff. So we got this indie book, The Coldest City. We got Garth Ennis' run on The Shadow.
Oh, that's sexy.
We got Unity, Matt Kent, Valiant, very good. And also sexy. This James Bond-looking book called Hit List.
Very nice.
Which is probably sexy because Zenoscope put it out.
Oh, that's most likely. Let me see.
Anyhow, so that's going on right now. If you go to nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway, we have all the details. But the only way that we will send you a thing is if you're able to contact us, so we have a contact for you, because that's not really not how iTunes works. So if you've posted a review anytime this year, 2016, all you have to do is shoot us an email, and you'll be entered into this contest, and you could win a big heaping pile of comic books. U.S. entries only, please.
I want to point out that
shipping is too expensive.
If you're listening to this and you're in the United States, you are qualified for this. You have really good odds.
Right now, they are you will be unchallenged.
Really, really good odds. So
it's free comics, guys.
If you're at all interested in these free things that we will send you, for
and
no,
can confirm, hit list sexy. In the first five pages, yeah. Not only is there a shower scene, there is also a frame dedicated to a woman's ass. So there you go.
Typical Zenoscope, but hey, there's probably some classier stuff in that box too. In fact, I can guarantee it.
Oh, absolutely. You just mentioned the Garth Ennis shadow, so who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
Take a few minutes and enter. You've got really good odds. It's not like one of those things where you enter a contest and you're 1 out of 50,000.
Yeah. So nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway. That's where all the details are, so you know what information we need from you and where to send that information. And we hope you do it, and thank you in advance. Now, of course, there's other ways you can support the show, and I'll be real quick about this so we can get on to our discussions, but you may have noticed, if you're watching the video component of this episode, that Tony and I are wearing some very lovely shirts. Why, these come from the Nerdy Show store at nerdyshow.com/store, and we have an entire t-shirt store on Amazon where we've done these things. We have this Nerdy Show logo here, and Tony is wearing this amazing mashup shirt of Pikachu and the Mighty Thor, a.k.a. Pikathor.
It is one of the long... This is, in fact, one of the first images I ever did for Nerdy Show. It's been a long time coming to a t-shirt, and man, it feels good on the skin.
We got all kinds of merchandise to sell you, so head to nerdyshow.com/store and explore those options, including shirts for Dungeons and Doritos, shirts for Friday Night Fan Fiction, and lots of role-playing things for Ghostbusters.
I'm a big fan of my shirt.
Which we didn't produce, so no. Don't buy it.
Fuck your shirt, Trench.
Why are you even wearing that? Take it off.
But it says keep calm and cast fireball. That's why.
It says keep calm shirts go. It's a pretty good keep calm shirt. So
I prefer to roll a charisma or bluff check.
But if you're going to buy any tabletop shirts, go to our store and buy a Dungeons & Doritos shirt.
You could declare that you're a chair. Just saying.
I am a chair.
I'm more of a fan of Eldritch Blast anyway.
Which we also have a shirt for that.
Actually, the Jennifer shirt says don't do drugs. But hey.
You know what? That's his version of an Eldritch Blast.
Our best-selling D&D shirt.
Of course it is.
Though, admittedly, they haven't sold many. So buy a shirt!
Keep it as the best-selling. Just increase that margin, is what we're saying.
Yeah. And, of course... We have a store on Amazon. If you buy anything on Amazon via our Amazon links, it supports Nerdy Show. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Let's move on. Nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Hey, Boar. Man,
hi.
We've been talking about VR and augmented reality a lot lately.
We have.
Like a lot. But there's something...
That's mostly my fault.
Yeah, but and it's going to be your fault again because something interesting and weird has happened recently in the realm of Magic Leap, one of the most promising augmented reality developers.
Yeah, they've been, if you're not familiar with Magic Leap, it's going to be an augmented reality goggle type of situation, and they are gearing this particular type of augmented reality to be one that you wear all the time, so it can enhance your life, like, beyond just playing games or surfing the internet.
A Google Glass type thing. Only less douchey.
Kind of, except for more augmented reality and less, like, heads-up display-y.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So imposing fictional objects into the real world, into the space,
right? And or as Microsoft calls them, holograms,
right? Even blowing Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. But they've been filing some kind of disturbing patents lately, where they want to pretty much these augmented reality devices are going to have cameras on them. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to track where your eyes are looking at all times, because that's sort of the nature of how they're going to be projecting things into your vision.
Because if they're not using some sort of a marker on the ground to tell you where something is, they don't need to know where you're looking.
But what they've done is they've filed some patents recently to track these things for fun advertising purposes and trying to figure out your behaviors towards various things. And,
because they're not just watching what you're watching, they're watching how you're watching it.
Right.
Oh, my. Anybody else thinking about the episode Bender of Futurama where Bender should not be on television, and it's the Nielsen family where they have just all this shit plugged into them, and one of them had a chemical reaction of like a spike in 10 seconds of attention when Bender was on TV? No? Just saying. Deep cut nerdiness there. Nebulius, that's for you.
But yeah, what makes it a little bit more disturbing is that not only can they track your vision, what you're looking at, how you're looking at it, where you're at, but they can also alter your perceptions of things. So they could throw advertisements into real life or try to
maybe even change
prod you in the direction of various products or behaviors that they would want.
Because that's what I need more of in my life.
One of those, like when you see, because you're, let's say they're sponsored by Wendy's and you look at a McDonald's ad, and instead of a McDonald's ad, they show you Wendy's.
Right.
It's dangerous.
It could do exactly things like that.
That
or
is not
or hijack blank billboards, for example, or
which will, I mean, this is technology. Things like this technology have been hinted to in all kinds of science fiction. And it's, what's interesting is the reality of it is going to create some intriguing problems. For example, the owner of that blank billboard could take issue with the fact that Magic Leap software decides that that's an appropriate place to occupy space that does not belong to them.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. I mean, the way the billboards work is you pay to put your ad there, and if Magic Leap is just like, man, we're going to put something.
And if McDonald's is getting superseded by Wendy's in augmented space, well, Jesus, that's a conflict of interest.
Oh,
so there will be wars, perhaps the beginning of the great franchise wars, as predicted by Demolition Man.
Oh, that's going to actually take place in France. You didn't hear about that?
No.
There's this...
Oh, go on, please. I know what you're talking about now.
It was McDonald's in France posted a big-ass sign with all of these directions to, like, the nearest French Burger King, which was, like, 100 miles away and out of the way. And it was just kind of like this obnoxious thing.
It was like maybe like four stories tall.
Yeah.
A series of like Google Maps.
It was like, yeah, well, look how far away you have to go, but we're right here. And so Burger King France, you know, response was, well, we're just that much better and more kind of elite. So
we're worth the drive.
Yeah.
We are the true burger monarchy.
But another thing that they are alluding to that might be possible is the fact that these things can record, obviously, everything.
Mm-hmm.
At all times. The advantage to you being that, like, say you threw a party and then you could, you know, relive that party, not only from your perspective, but from the perspective of everybody else that had a set of these on.
God, that just seems so fucking weird.
And apparently they're going to have, like, light field cameras, which I don't know if you're familiar with or not, but basically you can focus them later.
Yeah, that's like the Vesper or Esper machines from Blade Runner, essentially.
Right. So if there's a piece of paper on the table right there
that was out of focus,
you could refocus it later.
You know, and maybe this is just me being an old man, but this sort of stuff, any kind of VR in general, I feel that there needs to be some sort of a separation. I don't want true to life VR, or in this case, augmented reality, where they can alter your perception of the world, because it's hard enough for some people to separate fantasy from reality. And now we're giving them an excuse. You mean, you mentioned the...
But think of the LARPing, Tony.
The LARPing would be great, but that's, again, a controlled situation. If we talk about, like, man, I wish I could just live that party, you could spend the next 5 years living that party from everybody's perspective who was wearing one.
At the very least, we're going to be seeing this multiple angle idea showing up a lot. For example, I was told recently, and I believe this to be true, that there's a box, this is going to sound insane, there's a box set of the Monkees television show coming out.
Okay.
Very, very recently, or soon, or it's out already, I don't know. It's
time is a material.
It's one of the most extreme remasterings that's ever been done, because they didn't just remaster the angle that was broadcast, they remastered every angle they filmed. So you can watch a Monkees episode, all Monkees episodes ever made, from every single angle.
Holy fuck!
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean...
Who has that kind of time?
People with big money.
To watch it!
Cap, when are you going to do it?
When am I going to watch this monkey show?
From every angle.
I like to think that it could be a casual thing. Like, you got a controller in your hand because it'd be awkward to use voice commands for it. And just, like, kind of, like cycle through it, like, to get... just be like, what's it like over there? I don't know. It seems weird. It seems insane. I don't particularly think that people need that kind of option. But it's fascinating that they're able to do it. So I think we're going to see a lot of it. And then much like 3D television,
it's going to be like, goodbye, see ya.
Though I wonder what that's going to mean for people, like, because it works on a show like The Monkees because they're shooting what's known as coverage, and you've got multiple angles of the same scene going on so that you can capture these different angles. But movie makers sometimes, like Robert Rodriguez, for his first film, didn't shoot anything but the shots that were on screen.
Yeah.
There was no alternate take. There was no alternate angle. What you saw was what you got.
That was an indie film, though.
But he sticks with that mentality. He can still do stuff like that. So, I don't know.
It sounds like a pain in the ass to watch and a pain in the ass to make, frankly.
The only thing that I can say in favor of it is I really hope the voice command to get different angles is to say, hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we monkey around.
So it's like, hey, hey, and it just like cycles through it, and then like Monkees, and that goes back to the master edit.
That would be great.
Great. Yeah. Do it, guys. Connectivity.
Somebody's got to use it.
Back to augmented reality for just a moment.
Yes.
Do you remember right after Google Glasses came out, or Google Glass came out, for about, I don't know, like a 6-month period, there were all these arguments and articles about places banning Google Glass from being in their establishments.
Yeah.
Reasons of privacy and all that.
What do you think is going to happen with this Magic Leap? There's probably going to be all kinds of places where you can't wear it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear God. Especially if it's as comprehensive as you're saying.
If it's recording all the time.
Yeah, recording all the time and all that. Now, I mean, is it more obvious that you're wearing it?
Well, it's going to be a headset.
And actually, no one knows what it looks like in the public.
Okay.
They've got some rough diagrams on some of this, and it looks like there's a cable that goes into something, but...
Not because, I mean, one of the arguments with Google Glass was you couldn't tell when somebody, you know, a lot of the reasons that was banned was, like I said, for privacy. It was like...
But if it's on all the time, I don't think that's going to help it.
No, it's not going to help. Trust me. It's just, it's going to be easier to tell. So it's going to be easier to tell.
Oh, he's got one.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Take him down, boys.
We don't serve your kind here. They'll have to leave.
But they'd have to be really polite to you because it's probably already uploading it into the cloud. Sir, could you please leave?
I want my dickishness to be preserved for all time as I throw you out of my establishment. Thank you very much.
He wants his dick preserved for all time. That's all I heard.
Yeah, that was my takeaway.
That's going up on the profile for Trench Loves Cake.
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, Magic Leap's filing these patents. Maybe it's a goodwill thing. Maybe they're filing them so no one else can use them. But that seems highly unlikely.
That's how patents have been working lately.
Yeah.
I'm the optimist, Cap.
Oh, I wasn't saying it was going to happen. I was just presenting it as
an option.
An option, a far-reaching option.
Well, I suppose if string theory is to be believed, there is any number of possibilities that could be true.
Here's something that's a little bit, it's a couple weeks old, but I wanted to air it out.
You've got a rant.
A little bit of one. They're making a live-action Legends of the Hidden Temple movie.
Mm-hmm.
A TV movie of Legends of the Hidden Temple. Legends of the Hidden Temple, arguably one of the greatest game shows in American television.
With one of the most difficult final challenges ever.
I think we all remember, like, those of us that were old enough to want to be on the show at the time remember it as one of the greatest challenges or, you know, things on TV ever. But if you go back.
Are you guys talking about the three-piece puzzle that no kid could ever figure out?
Exactly. Shrine of the Silver Monkey?
Yeah.
If you go back and watch videos of it now, it's just like terrible. Like this guy in khaki shorts is giving you really confusing and cryptic instructions as you frantically barrel through this fucking obstacle course.
No, I have had the cable station Nickelodeon Gas for my entire adult life until they pulled the plug on it, and that was where they showed constant reruns of Legends of the Hidden Temple. Always a good time. It was always saved to my favorites. That was always, if I didn't know what I wanted to watch, but I wanted to watch something, there it was. I refute that completely. It's still a good show.
Go, Silver Snakes!
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't a good show. I just said that it was not that great of a game show to participate on.
Why could they never figure out how to put that monkey together?
Because it was a ridiculously challenging obstacle course where you were being ridiculed on live television by a guy in khaki shorts.
I mean, and the temple guards come in, you can't win. There's no indicator that's going to happen. You're either fucked or you're not, depending on how well you did in the previous challenges.
No, I'm specifically picking on the kids that actually got to the Shrine of the Silver Monkey and couldn't figure out to put the head on last.
The producers probably selected ignorant children, like the worst of the worst, with a couple notable exceptions.
And how are they going to make that a movie?
Does the bass go on the top, or where does this go?
How do I even do it? Here's the it was so sad when a kid was legitimately too short to do the puzzle. Oh. Like, they just kept some stuff out of arm's reach for some kids. It was really just awful.
Terrible.
So, I don't know how they're going to do a TV movie, but the plot is this. Three siblings who must conquer a series of obstacles to remain alive, mirroring the theme of the original game show. It'll nod to elements from the original show, including Olmec, the Steps of Knowledge, and cameos from a green monkey, a red jaguar, silver snakes, and other team monikers. And it's,
this sounds incredibly lame.
Yeah, it does. It's starring Isabella Moner, who is on one of Nick's other TV movies, 100 Things to Do Before High School, and it's being produced by, I believe, some people who did that already. And the perhaps the shining lining of this is that there are a couple competent people on here, people whose work I know, and that's Alex Reed, one of the writers and producer of the show, who worked on early Malcolm in the Middle, and Kenan Kell. So that's interesting.
Wow.
But he's one of several people working on it.
Oh, okay. But, no, I for a second there, because of the lack of a obvious comma, I thought that Kenan and Kel were involved, and I was thinking,
no.
That would be, and it would be within the wheelhouse. I would believe it,
but it's not. And here's the thing: here's why I'm mad about this, because they can, you know, sure, do a TV movie, whatever. But the fact is, if they did a revival of that show, it would be huge. And instead, they're like, all right, we're gonna do something with Legends of the Hidden Temple. We're gonna bank on the air on the side of like nostalgia for all the people who grew up watching the show that now have children, and here we go. We're gonna make that money. But the real answer to this is just do the fucking show again, guys. Like, do a better version of that show, or even allow adults. And I would then look to what is in fact one of the greatest game shows of all time anywhere on the planet Earth, and that is the Crystal Maze. Has anyone seen The Crystal Maze?
No.
No. I think I've seen clips of it.
The Crystal Maze was a show in the UK that ran from 1990 to 1995. It was, for most of its series, hosted by Richard O'Brien of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
And it is...
Oh, wow.
Legends of the Hidden Temple on overdrive, starring adults. It has massively complicated set pieces.
Is that the one where, like, you have a... I can't remember how many people were on the team, but, like, your team members would go into the rooms, and then, like, if they didn't complete the puzzle, they got locked in the room.
Yep.
And then you just had to keep going.
Yeah, or you could use one of your precious, crystals to buy them out of there, because at the end of the match, you get locked inside of the crystal dome, and you have to catch as many, like, silver and gold, like, dollar things floating around as possible. So the more hands you have, the better, but... The crystal orbs also represent the amount of time you have in that dome. So, checks and balances, incredible set pieces, incredibly challenging puzzles of many different varieties, like including like going into a room and having to solve like a full-blown mystery, like putting clues together to figure out where the hell this thing's hidden, weird mind challenges, complicated math, really great show. A ton of it is on YouTube. I can't recommend it enough. And if they had something like that in the United States in the 21st century... God, that would be a reason to watch fucking television, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, because I'm even just thinking of stuff like Wipeout and shows like that where it's barely a mental challenge with somewhat of a physical challenge. And people eat that shit up.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden we add crystals to the mix, which people clearly love.
People do love their crystals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially that dinosaur fellow. I hear he's a doctor. It's an atomic. Okay, fine. Just leave me here.
Oh yeah, Dr. Dinosaur from Atomic Robo. Great.
Either one. I thought it was clever. Apparently, I was the only one.
I got it, but it was just like, why? That's coming way the fuck from left field.
Here's a cool thing about Crystal Maze. Crystal Maze is kind of like a televised version of a super elaborate escape room, and escape rooms are all the rage now, as are IRL experiences. Well, the guys behind Secret Cinema, the people who did that incredible third scale recreation of Hill Valley from Back to the Future that I couldn't shut up about 2 years ago.
Yep.
Well, they teamed up with the production designer of Titanic and Hellboy to create a actual real life Crystal Maze, complete the exact thing that was on television. And you can go to it in England. It opened this month. It's in London.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That is awesome. People in London, get on that shit. Report back to us.
That is the tippy top of my list of things to do next time I cross over to the other side of the pond.
Why do people call it a pond? It's an ocean. I don't understand. I'm confused.
Man, it's not for you to wonder. But anyway, so my Legends of the Hidden Temple on a TV
You're
movie.
You're pondering the wrong angle.
Fictional
of this,
TV
Tony.
Movie. Fuck you. It's game show, man. Like you screwed up. However, any Hey Arnold fans in the house?
What? Yeah.
I didn't watch the show. It was a little too late for me. My Nicktoons were earlier than that, mm-hmm. right? So I pieced out around Hey Arnold.
Coming back.
How quickly how closely did you guys follow the storyline to that?
I followed it pretty tightly. The fact that
So you know that Arnold's parents was a storyline that was never dealt with. I didn't realize this was a show that had storylines.
Was never explored. And it actually had some fairly deep storylines. Like I cannot remember what nationality he was, but he was some sort of either Vietnamese or from the Philippines, kind of that area, who had lost touch with his daughter when he came to the States and was reunited through his ability to sing like Randy Travis. Was a weird storyline, but again, very deep, very touching, very
when he
personal.
Got into country music and they were his managers.
That sounds pretty wild.
he at one point became a country music star, and his singing voice was provided by Randy Travis, a famous country singer, only to then be introduced at the Grand Ole Opry by Tandy Ravis. They were that on the nose with it. It was fantastic.
Man.
Or Travis Randall,
so,
something like that.
The reason I bring it up is in the same press release as this TV movie that I don't want, they are, in fact, doing a two-part TV movie for Hey Arnold, which reportedly is not just some like live-action remake of Hey Arnold. They're actually closing the show's storyline. Like, the original creator's on board. In cartoon form.
Okay, I was going to say, if they did like a real life version, that was going to be the football head.
It would be very tricky.
It would be really weird. So it's going to find out the truth behind what happened to Arnold's parents, and it's something that was referred to as the Jungle Movie back in the day, because it was going to be a follow-up film to the Hey Arnold movie that actually came out in theaters, mm-hmm. didn't perform well enough to get a sequel. This is it many, many years later. It's coming in 2017. How weird is that?
It is exceptionally bizarre, and I'm really looking forward to it. So
it makes me hope that even though Disney has the rights to it, maybe we'll get to see the Doug follow-up as Doug as an adult and how kind of like awful his life is.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot of like things like that are coming back from our childhoods. You know, there's Doug, Samurai Jack is coming back.
Yeah.
Symbionic Titan is supposedly doing something.
What?
I've heard off and on again.
There will be rumors forever, but clearly Genndy Tartakovsky has his hands full with Samurai Jack, so...
I just want more Symbionic Titan.
Hey, yeah. Me too, man. It's one of the greatest shows. But yeah, I mean, and you know, sometimes it doesn't work out too well, like this last season of X-Files.
Scooby-Doo is coming back in comics, isn't it?
Scooby-Doo and many of the other Hanna-Barbera properties are getting a bizarre facelift in comic books, yeah. We'll see if that ever translates to animation or film, for that matter.
I'm not really a fan of the Scooby-Doo one, but
people are. Jim Lee taking on the Hanna-Barbera line is just weird.
But hey, Wacky Races in a Mad Max universe.
That's perfect.
I can get behind that. And speaking of comics, I would like to take this opportunity in closing to give a shout out to a Marvel book that everyone should read, regardless of your interest in comic books.
Okay.
It's set in the main Marvel universe, uh-huh. but it exists really outside the field of any of the superheroes or anything. It's a book called Red Wolf. And this is about, it's a reimagining of a much maligned, previously kind of racist, Native American superhero. This is a book so good, it should already have a TV series.
Okay.
Like, it's so good as a standalone thing. Like, this belongs on, like, Marvel's television empire.
Yes, Bor. There, in fact, an archaeologist we've been in touch with. He is going to break into it.
Here's what belongs in a museum. All previous iterations of the character Red Wolf.
In a museum or an archive protected by top men.
Top men, man. You don't want anybody to see that thing. So this kind of spins out of Secret Wars, the big multiversal event that Marvel had last year that was incredible. They had a book called 1872, mm-hmm. which is the Marvel Universe reimagined as a late 19th century thing, set in a small town called Timely, where like Wilson Fisk heralded over this town, and there's all these analogs to the characters and everything. And mm-hmm. Red Wolf was there as this like Native American sheriff. He became the sheriff anyway. Steve Rogers was the sheriff, and he gets killed.
He just cannot catch a break, that Steve Rogers. No.
So this kind of spins out of that, because there were a lot of things that happened in that multiversal event where characters got chucked back into the main Marvel universe once the universes re-coalesced into their previous shapes. And in this case, you don't need to know anything about that to read this book, but that's just the background for where this version of the character comes from, because this is a character who is played really straight. This is not a costume character. This is a man wearing the Western garb of the late 19th century who is a Native American and is also a sheriff and is a master tracker, and he's just good at his goddamn job and believes in justice. Well, when at the start of this Red Wolf book, he's hanging out in his town and encounters a time traveler. Some shit goes really sideways, and then he wakes up in present-day New Mexico in a small town and has no idea what the fuck is happening.
Oh, boy.
But he's a cop, and he's a damn good tracker.
And he's going to make it work, goddammit.
And it's great. Like, because obviously, weird guy's coming around saying all kinds of crazy things. He gets picked up by the cops, and then all of a sudden, like, the cop goes off on, like, another, like, they get a call in,
yep.
And he gets involved in the situation. And it's so good, you guys. It's such a good book.
I will have to look into this, because this does sound... I'm always looking for a good crime drama, a good cop drama type deal.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
This sounds like something that... I've been really getting into the street-level Marvel stuff, just because it's so good, it's so personal. I mean, the second season of Daredevil is less than a week out at this point, so we won't touch too much on it.
Yeah. But
suffice it to say, it is a more than adequate follow-up to the first season, and John Bernthal he does a fantastic job as Frank Castle. He is absolutely wonderful.
Before we spin off too much into that, just closing on Red Wolf. Red Wolf's great. It's coming out in issues right now. It's not getting collected until early July, but you can pre-order it now. And it's written by Nathan Edmondson, who's known for his recent run on Punisher, where he took Punisher to the West Coast.
Okay.
And a great run on Black Widow, which for me personally validated the character in spite of Scarlett Johansson's lacking performance in the film. This is like a great counterpoint of, but yes, the character could be this good. And the art's great. And you should totally check it out. So on to Marvel Television, I guess.
Yeah, well, the Marvel Web Television, where they've been doing a tremendous job. All their series are great. Bernthal's great as the character. Hell's Kitchen is as violent and horrific as it's ever been. So they haven't shied away from anything. And at the end of it, they've got so we won't touch too much on it, just because again, it's less than a week old.
You're scaring people, probably. Saying the end of it, blah blah blah.
By the end, hold on. What? When did I say end of it?
You totally did. But let's move on.
Okay, moving on. No, at the end of the list is a teaser for Luke Cage.
Ah,
is what I was getting at. Not the end of the series. I haven't finished the series.
The end of the list of things on the Netflix when you're scrolling through.
Yes, there's a teaser trailer for Luke Cage. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Really leans into the kind of blaxploitation aspect of it. Seems like it's
okay.
I doubt it's going to go quite to Black Dynamite levels, but I think they'll find a happy medium for the character and could be a good time. But more interestingly is I just saw a story break today, and I didn't dig too deep into it, save that Jeremy Renner, the guy who plays Hawkeye, is open to a Netflix series focused on the character. And I, for one, am in favor of it.
I would love a Netflix series based on Matt Fraction's Hawkeye, one of the greatest Marvel comics in recent time. Which totally validated the character of Hawkeye and made him special to me and made him special to lots of people, made him special to all of Tumblr.
Yep.
It's a big deal. Matt Fraction's Hawkeye, which you should totally read, regardless of your experience with comic books, is a big deal and a great book and a great portrait of what that character could be, which unfortunately the Marvel Cinematic Universe shat all over in the biggest way possible in Avengers 2 and made Hawkeye a complete garbage character. So while... yes, I would love to see a Hawkeye television show. It cannot exist.
At least not the way you want it to. It can.
Wait,
we don't know what Civil War is bringing.
Hawkeye living with his family, having an idyllic life in the middle of nowhere, sure.
Oh, yeah, because that's how it would actually go down. We'd wind up, he would just be sitting there playing Parcheesi with his kids, because that's apparently what people,
I don't know anything about Hawkeye at all other than Avengers movies, and he just kind of seems like lame Green Arrow.
Here's what Hawkeye is all about. Hawkeye is being a down-and-out guy who's really talented but is a consummate fuck-up and ruins everything in his life and uses his Avengers money to buy a tenement in New York City because people are going to get evicted because he's a nice guy, but he also kind of is a complete screw-up. He lives with a dog who eats too much pizza, and he has a protege who he doesn't have a romantic relationship with but whose name is also Hawkeye and is a girl. And and it's drama and fun. And it's a good time. It's a hilarious fucking book, and he gets the shit kicked out of him all the time, and that's his life.
I think they can still play, though, the he gets the shit kicked out of him all the time angle of the character. They can have him be the put-upon archer of the
team. No, they can't, because he has a happy life that is completely unrealistic.
It is ripe for getting fucked up. It is ripe for getting fucked up.
If it starts with the murder of his family, then they're off to a good start.
That you heard it here first.
Cap wants Hawkeye's idyllic life to end in the most violent way possible.
That, of all the failings of Avengers Age of Ultron, for me, that was the most significant. They had their chance, and they ruined it.
It did seem to come out of left field. I'm not going to begrudge him it too awful much. I still enjoy Jeremy Renner as the character. I think he
hasn't had the chance to do anything with the character, unfortunately.
I like Jeremy Renner enough in the other stuff I've seen him in that I enjoy when he's on screen. I don't look at it and go,
You've seen him enough in other things that you like watching him shoot a bow and arrow at stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm okay with that. He shot Ant-Man in that most recent Civil War trailer, which looks great, by the way.
I haven't watched Spidey. That.
Here's one final thing about comic books. This also pertains to Nerdy Show. There's a Kickstarter going on right now for Liberty. You may know Liberty as the scripted sci-fi audio drama that we put out on the Nerdy Show Network.
Mm-hmm.
You should totally check it out, nerdyshow.com/Liberty. They have two series so far, Liberty Critical Research, which is a kind of ensemble cast radio serial thing, and then Liberty Tales from the Tower, which is more like a Twilight horror. Zone horror short story thing.
Yep.
So they have different series, they alternate and so on, but it's all set in the same world,
mm-hmm.
which is a fallen colony, that's been off the grid of Earth connections for forever, I forget how long, a long time, hundreds of years,
yep.
And the world that's left in its wake, which is the idyllic but still in kind of shambles Atreus, and then everything else, which is the Fringe. It's a great setup, it's a great premise, it's a great show, but Liberty was originally conceived as a comic book.
Deception.
Yeah, Liberty Deception, and that comic book is currently being kickstarted by Travis, who's the creator of Liberty, and it's going on right now through to April 24th. They are looking for $20,000. And they only have three currently, so you should help them out. And here's why it's that much money. Because you're not backing a single issue of a comic book. You're backing a full-blown original graphic novel.
And I have talked, because Travis has approached me about logo stuff. My wife actually did the logo for the comic itself.
Well, she did the logo for all of Liberty, actually.
Oh, wow. Nifty.
It's the same logo. Why didn't you know that, Tony?
Why aren't you paying attention to your wife?
Listen, somebody's got to be here to record this shit and get shit wrong. But he's been working on this for a long time, and the setup, it really is a very well-crafted world and absolutely deserves your funds and your time. This is something I'm planning on kickstarting. I haven't had the opportunity to yet, but it's happening.
Yeah, so you should check it out. We'll link to this episode's page, obviously, but you can also search Liberty Deception Kickstarter, and you'll find it. You'll see there why this is a very valid thing for you to back. Look at that artwork.
It's gorgeous.
It is insane. This is art. The interior art is done by Raymond Bermudez from Justice League and X-Men, with colors by Joanna LaFuente from G.I. Joe, X-Files, and Transformers. It is a pro book.
It is an indie book. It is one of the best-looking indie books that I've ever seen. I mean, and I especially going to a comic shop for as long as I have now, you see some of the indie books that come through, and it's like, you know what? It's a solid enough premise. I'll give it a shot. And the art just eventually makes me hate myself as I try and read it. I drool over the pages I've seen. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, if this is something, if I picked it up on the shelf, I'd think like...
There's even an action figure now, isn't there?
Yeah, there's like a miniature figurine.
Yeah.
I forget how you get that. Maybe you can buy it in the store. I'm not sure. But there is actually an issue zero, which you can buy, physical or digital, and we'll link that also on this episode's page. A great sampling of what Liberty's all about. Yeah. So yeah, you should totally check out the Liberty Kickstarter.
It's so cool, you guys.
And just a final reminder on the topic of comics, don't forget, we got the Batman versus Superman video.
Yep.
Keep an eye peeled for that. Anything else in closing, guys, or should we get the hell out of here?
Let's get the hell out of here.
It's getting really hot in here, and I don't want to take off this shirt while I'm advertising it.
Yeah, nerdyshow.com/store, and also nerdyshow.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. Just go there, bookmark that link, and make us the only portal of Amazon that you use, and you will in turn fuel Nerdy Show. And if you think, oh shit, I just bought this big thing, Nerdy Show should know about it, I want a shout-out, just email us. We'll give you a shout-out. Yo, this guy bought this refrigerator.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
It refrigerates meat.
Yo, you just pre-ordered Red Wolf, and then did what else did you do related to things that happened this episode? I don't know. Crystal Maze.
You bought an Xbox One and a PS4 so you could play against each other in your own house because you roll like that.
Yes, and what other improv-y stuff.
Yep. Yes. And
this
so
in the episode board, you can.
So let's just get the fuck out of here because clearly we're wearing down.
Yes, and let's go get tacos.
Taking us out, we got a brand new track by Danimal Cannon.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Ooh. This is from his brand new record, Lunaria, and it's called Long Live the New Fresh.
Lunario?
No.
What kind of tacos are we talking, Rob?
Oh, we're talking tacos. Double D's from Gringos Locos, mi amigo.
Double D's.
That's a soft tortilla shell with queso wrapped in a crunchy tortilla shell.
I like my tacos like I like my wee man.
And a powerful orgasm.
That's a boob reference.
Anyhow, bye!
Bye! Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or on Audioboom. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you and others like you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow nerdyshow.com on all your favorite social media networks, Twitter, the Tumblrs.
It's really falling apart there, but, you know, like you're right. I mean, you're right. You should do that. You should totally do that.
We should absolutely follow them on all the social media networks, because if it's geeky...
We've got it covered. Thought we were going to do that in unison.
Oh, okay, let's... If it's geeky...
We've got it covered.
Fuck!
Damn it!
Why is this so hard for you to...
I give up.
I guess I'm just going to get some tacos. Bye-bye-bye.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.